This is the Diehards.
The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires.
Swing and a miss. Frankly, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Hello, it is Thursday. That means it's the Diehards. And it's not raining here in Beantown. Welcome in to another edition. How are you, Mr. Mark Linehan? I'm Anthony Pepe.
Golf courses are open. I'm a little happy now.
Finally. Yeah. You don't look like you played golf in a long time, though.
I had a bad back, but I used to be able to play. I'm not walking anywhere. They put cots out there.
You You pretty much limp into my man cave
into our studio.
So I don't see you golfing.
First to third on a triple. That's my motto.
Can I call you Stampy, by the way?
I don't care what you call me. Well, actually, I let him call me that because the check cleared.
So in an old radio show that you were doing with Mikey Adams, the Boston radio legend, he used to be on WEEI, and you were doing a radio show with him on 1510.
Morning Drive, baby, for about an hour.
And he called you Stampy. Where the hell did that name come from?
I don't know. They were trying to come up with a nickname. I told him I didn't care what they called me, as long as the check cleared, literally.
And unfortunately, it did
not. Some lady called up and said he made a stamp. I honestly couldn't care.
All right.
I didn't care what they called me. Like I said, check clears. I'll change my name legally.
We have a fun show for you tonight on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll be joined by the sports professor, as always. Rick Horro will join us. We'll go to Canada and talk to our friend, NBA expert Peter Yiannopoulos. He'll be joining us on the Progressive Guest Line tonight. Bill Enright from Sports Illustrated. We're talking some NFL with him. Of course, NFL schedule's coming out right now as we speak. We'll be breaking down NFL schedules throughout the evening here on the program and talking about your favorite team. And obviously we'll talk about, you know, how many games the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to lose. We'll talk some baseball and what's going to happen with MLB with our friend from the Boston Sports Journal, Sean McAdam, on the program tonight. And we'll do some more football as well as we wrap things up.
Can we talk about the Murder Hornets?
As we always do. We'll talk about them as well with Dr. Football, John Saronidis. We'll talk Murder Hornets. We'll talk NFL scheduling.
Team,
we're going to talk about everything here on the program.
Murder Hornets.
Oh, really?
I'm working on COVID-20.
Beantown Rundown by Hillside Harvest. Hillside Sauce coming up next. You're listening to the Diehards.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Now time for the Beantown Rundown.
All right, boys, let's do this.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And welcome back, SB Nation Radio. We are the Diehards, Beantown Rundown Town. Presented by our friends at Hillside Harvest. Take your meals to the next level with Hillside Harvest and their delicious hot sauces. Made from all natural ingredients and packed with bold and unique flavors, these hot sauces are like nothing you've had before, Linehan.
No, nothing.
Inspired by Caribbean and American influences.
I go Caribbean.
Hillside Harvest sauces will pair well with anything from jerk chicken to clam chowder.
To murder hornets.
Check out all the Hillside Harvest has to offer at hillsidesauce.com. Big up to my pal, Kamal, who runs that company. Good dude.
Yeah.
I was talking to a former co-worker because I'm on furlough, Mish, today. And she said, hey, have you talked to Kamal lately? I go, I'm talking about his hot sauce every week on the Diehards.
Hey, Mish, if you're listening, I got a question for you. How you doing?
All right, so before we get to the Beantown Rundown, the NFL schedules are hitting as we speak. I know there were a lot of them were being leaked.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the Tampa Bay schedule right now.
Drew Brees, Tom Brady?
That should be fun.
Yeah.
4 o'clock, they kick off September 13th at New Orleans. All right, so I'm looking at it. They have Thursday night, October 8th at Chicago. So that's one prime time.
Ooh,
Sunday, October 25th, this is Tampa, at Las Vegas. That's two. November 2nd, the next week, Monday night at the Giants.
Now,
that's three.
Here's my question for you. How many of those games will get flexed out after Brady tears Achilles?
Let's see, November 8th, it's a Sunday night.
I'm busy that day, so I don't think
they host New Orleans. So they have three primetime games in three straight weeks.
Yeah.
Sunday night, Monday night, Sunday night. So that's four. And then 2 weeks after that, they have the Rams on Monday night. So they have five primetime games. Now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have five primetime games. Are you kidding me?
Till TB12.
Oh, my God.
Has his ankle taped.
Stupid. Team's going to stink.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
They're going to stink. Did I mention Bruce Arians stinks?
He stinks, too.
Yep.
How about, did you watch
under 500 record the last 3 years, 22-25-1.
Did you watch any of the Korean baseball late night?
I have not yet, no, but I hear it's fantastic.
It was good, except the rain delay in the first game, and they didn't have any fans. I like watching the fans jump up and down and bang things.
All right.
I watch.
You like watching fans bang things?
I do. That's on another channel. I want a good name for my
That was too easy.
I know, I throw it out there for you. I like to keep you smart. I like to start my new team called the Murder Hornets. I'm all about the Murder Hornets.
A little minor league baseball team.
Absolutely, the Murder Hornets. The Mississippi Murder Hornets.
Who would be your first player you would sign?
Oof, I don't know. It'd have to be somebody from the Cincinnati Sting.
All right. So that was Tampa Bay's schedule in a nutshell. Again, they'll be lucky if they win seven games.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Five prime time games, three in a row. How's that going to work out? Come on. Please.
I'm kind of banking on Brady's health.
They open with New Orleans,
then
they play
right?
Carolina, then at Denver, which is a tough place to play still. I don't care who's playing there. Then you host the Chargers, then you're at Chicago, Green Bay, then you go to Vegas, and then that Vegas one kicks off the three straight primetime games, and then you're
then
at Carolina,
that,
and then the Rams, and then Kansas City. Oh, then you have your bye week.
Then after that, somebody will get sick and have to cancel the season.
I'm talking nine losses right off the bat there.
Well,
I mean, come on.
Thinking the other way a lot.
Team's going to stink.
How about Detroit? They open up with Chicago and Green Bay. They could be in last place in their division before the season even starts.
I don't hear all the people complaining about the Patriots' easy schedule.
No.
Oh, no, they have the toughest schedule in the NFL.
Well,
they
knew
not?
That was coming beforehand.
Yeah,
but that's based on last season's record, so I don't believe in that crap.
All right, let's get to the B-Town rundown quickly
here.
I know everybody loves these Mount Rushmores.
I don't.
I know you don't. You hate them.
You can't even tell me who's on the real Mount Rushmore.
I cannot. That's why we're doing them, because I know you hate them, and it's such a sports radio cliche.
Okay. Tom Brady's on all of them.
So, Mount Rushmore, question number one, Mount Rushmore in the NFL from Linehan's eyes. Give me the Mount Rushmore in the NFL. Question two, I want to know who your NBA Mount Rushmore is.
Come on, man. That's too much thinking.
I know it is. That's why I'm putting you to work, and that's why I gave you these prior to the show.
I don't listen to you. I thought you were kidding.
Question three, we'll go NHL. You like the Hockey League. You always use that reference, drop the puck.
Drop the puck in life. Let's go.
I need you to drop the four Mount Rushmores in the NHL. Question four, Mount Rushmore in baseball, and I don't mean the Korean League that's on right now.
I'm a big fan.
And then question five, because we know how huge you are here in New England.
Oh, duh. Literally now.
I want to know your Mount Rushmore in New England.
All right.
Then we probably won't get to the entertainment question, so I'm going to ask it to you right now. What was your favorite class in school?
Gym.
No, it wasn't. You must have had a favorite class. Give me a favorite class.
Not really.
No?
I was actually a pretty good math kid, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, imagine that.
So what happened?
Watch this. 8-8. 16.
Dude, you're freaking talented.
God, throwing at me. 7-7. 14.
All right. Mount Rushmore, NFL, go.
NFL. I'm going to put Brady up there.
Yeah, he's in there, in my opinion. Yep.
Put Joe Montana up there.
But he stinks this year.
And then I'm going to go with Butkus and Ditka. The Bears. The Bears on the Mount Rushmore.
I'm going Brady, Vince Lombardi, LT, and I have to go with my boy Deion Sanders. This guy just shut down half the field. I know everybody hates
him. Never tackled anybody, but
that's all right. He was still the best quarterback in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Question two, NBA Mount Rushmore. And please tell me you have Michael Jordan on the list.
Yeah, of course I do.
All right, thank
Bird,
you.
Bird, Jordan.
Your Bird.
Yeah, of course I do. I'm from here.
All right. From here, kid.
And George Mikan. Underrated 7-footer.
How about Bill Russell?
Yeah, he's a substitute.
He won a few championships.
Yeah, he's all right then. Yeah. But I like George Mikan.
I got MJ, Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, and I have Magic Johnson, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I know
George
people.
Mikan.
I know it's blasphemy around these parts to have Magic Johnson on a Mount Rushmore before Larry Bird. That's Larry Joe Bird to you.
Yeah,
I don't
LJB,
know.
Baby.
All right, NHL, your Mount Rushmore in the NHL. Now, I know you're a big hockey guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably cheat off you.
Yeah, good luck with that. That's gotten a lot of people through high school. What you don't know is in the next row, son.
All right. You know what? I have Wayne Gretzky on mine. Is it safe to say he's on yours?
Yeah.
All right, let me give you mine first.
All right.
How about Gordie Howe? Does he make the list?
Absolutely.
How about Mario Lemieux?
Yeah, he's on it.
And Brett Hull?
No.
No?
Or Gretzky, Gordie Howe, Lemieux with a fifth man is Patrick Roy. You got to have a goalie.
Yeah, all right. Spell Roy.
Roy. His first name was Roy. If his mother had a sense of humor, he should have been named Roy Roy.
So you have Bobby Orr on there?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Of course. Because you're from around here, kid.
I don't care if you're from Perry Sound, Ontario. Whoops,
so,
that would work, too.
So Brett Hull was a bad pick? Is that what you're telling me?
Hey, you're Pucks. I got to defer to you, right?
I am Peppy Pucks. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm known for.
You are.
Peppy Pucks. All right. Mount Rushmore, question four, B-Town Rundown with the Diehards, SB Nation Radio, MLB. Go.
Babe Ruth, Luke Gehrig, Cy Young, and Trouty.
And Trouty.
Yeah.
Why Trouty?
I think he's, I mean, I'm kidding because you're talking about Trouty being my boy, but I'm not kidding. I put him on that list.
What do you mean by your boy, though, by the way? What do you mean by that?
We go way back.
I mean, just because you were on the sidelines with the Philadelphia Eagles with your boy Chip Kelly one game, and you had, like, your armor on him.
I saw him at Fenway. He had a home run for me. I told him I was a sick little kid. He put it over the fence.
And he looked like, who is this guy trying to take a picture with me?
Most people are thinking the same thing. Who's that taking a picture with me?
Oh, my goodness. Trouty, your boy.
Yeah, that's my boy, Trouty.
I have Babe Ruth. I have Jackie Robinson, obviously, right. What he's done to the game. I mean, no secret there. Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, I'll take him. And then, especially drinking.
And then how do you not have Pedro Martinez?
Yeah, all right.
The greatest pitcher in the history of mankind.
Okay, I got bad news for the Cy Young family. I just replaced him with Pedro.
But from 1998 to 2002, was there ever a pitcher that you've seen in baseball, watching baseball for the 700 years you've been around?
Yeah, 685.
There was no one better than Pedro Martinez.
I bet I saw Pedro in person more than anybody. I mean, I literally went to every Pedro.
Yeah, game. As did I. Yeah. As I tell everybody, it was like an event. Yeah. Every time he pitched, it was the K cards out. Yeah. It was unbelievable. The atmosphere. It was an event every time he took the hill. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Watching
like
sports.
I'm a Pedro guy.
And then,
plus, he was throwing against people that were all juiced up.
Exactly.
Like myself. I was watching him.
I mean, hello. Did you guys share anything?
Oh, no. I'm not like that. I used to steal it from other people. I'm pro steroids. You know?
Mount Rushmore in New England. Obviously, Pedro makes the list.
Yeah.
There's not a doubt in my mind. Brady makes the list. No secret there. I did throw Larry Joe Bird on there over Russell.
Yeah.
And I threw Bobby Orr in there.
Well,
you can't go wrong with those four.
The show's going to suck because I agree. Maybe David Ortiz might have to.
Big Pops.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Ray Bourque?
Bourque, you ain't beating out Orr, in my opinion.
All right. And then, obviously, people have Bill Russell over Larry Joe.
In the rings.
Some people even have, like, Cousy and Havlicek and some guys like that.
Some people are old and stupid. Those are the people the Murder Hornets are going to get.
Did you see the YouTube video of the
guy
that literally has the Murder Hornet in that little, like, tweezer situation? He's going, all right, now I'm going to let it sting me. And it hurt so bad. It hurt me watching it.
Yeah,
it was horrific.
Where does one find a murder hornet? I've tried to order one at Petco for people I hate.
Hey, hopefully not around here.
Well, there you go.
You know what I mean?
That
would be
going on
brutal. Can you stop with this whole situation, please?
Name for a band. What do you think, the Murder Hornets?
Yes, like a heavy metal band.
Yeah,
the Murder Hornets. Yeah, I could see you in a heavy metal band.
I am. I used to be in 1 year ago.
Oh yeah, leather pants.
Duh. Small waist, large pouch. Try getting them made.
Let's take a TO when we come back. Our friend, the sports professor, Rick Horrell, will join the Diehards next. He's Lenahan on Pepe. It's SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Lenahan.
O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East here in Boston. When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Hopping to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, of course, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. The sports professor, friend of the show, sports business expert.
Business.
The one and only Mr. Rick Horrell. Rick, welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the diehards. How you doing, pal?
Only NFL great that would have the domination of the headlines for the release of the schedule that might not even begin when it says it's going to begin because of the contingencies. So the Dolphins and the Patriots would be one of those games that gets moved or wiped out if they don't start until October. They open the season again this year. But, hey, your Patriots look a little different. What do you think?
Well, Rick, the NFL schedule is scheduled to start September 10th. We all know that. But that's what they're saying it's supposed to start. But we all know the controversy and the uncertainty of the world we live in today. As you mentioned, the Dolphins open up here in New England on that Sunday, the 9:13 at 1 p.m. here in Foxborough. I don't believe the NFL schedule is going to start on time. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just curious to get your overall take on, first of all, your Dolphins schedule, because I was going through your Dolphins schedule, and it looks like they're looking at 9-10 losses, in my opinion, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're a Dolphins guy. Maybe you can pull a few wins here or there, but I'm looking at maybe 9, maybe 10 losses.
Well, you're a Patriot, so I just got what you say, about 50%. So that's 4 losses, maybe 5, but that puts them in the playoffs. So, as far as I'm concerned, I'm ready to get my playoff tickets already.
I'm gonna save this audio for you, okay, buddy?
Yeah. the beauty of the NFL right now and at the draft is that everybody's going to the Super Bowl. And Jeff Lurie, who owns the Eagles, is a really good friend, and he's a kind of a scholar. And one of the things that he did that landed in my book was he coined the phrase monetizing hope. And everybody in the NFL can make money off of hope because they think they're the next team. And so the answer is, who knows? I have no idea. Certainly, as a Dolphin fan, the expectations are going to be much higher than they were last year when the cry was tank for Tua. Well, they tanked. They got Tua. So we'll see what happens. And of course, the Patriots, it's a brave new world. The Bills will start being the odds-on favorite to win the division. But it's not that simple. And the answering of your question is the NFL is doing everything it can to structure the season with a limited number of fans, the maximum amount of flexibility, and a reliance on television, which, of course, pays the freight. But 65%, when you think of it, of all the revenues, it's bankable. And if the NFL says all of our major network partners are committed to trying to get the season started on time, finished on time, the fans are secondary. Tom Garfinkel, a good friend and the president of the Dolphins, went on Good Morning America yesterday to release the Dolphin Protocol, which is kind of similar to everybody's. And all the architects around the NFL stadiums are looking at ways to try to make them safer. The existing stadiums only having a certain number of fans, staggering in with more when governors allow more people to go, separate concession drop-off and pickup, temperature taking at the door. There are a lot of things that could happen. And again, we didn't talk about it last week, but 72% of the avid fans surveyed in a Seton Hall study basically said, we're not going to a stadium, NFL or otherwise, until a vaccine is found. I'm not sure if that's really the way it is. I think people are just kind of pent up and frustrated right now. But
sure,
even if it's close to that, that's a big call to action. That's a big number. So I think we start the season potentially on time. I'm an optimist, but we do not start it with fans.
Around here, a big thing, and people I know in the bar business and sports fans around here, they always try to get a leak of the schedule to find out when the Patriots are at Miami so they can get airline tickets before it gets going. A December 20th, if things are going well, would bode well for an awful lot of New England nitwits in your barn.
Yeah, well, hey, the thing about the season in December, you're hoping that those games are played with big fans. And, of course, in Miami, you're kind of hoping that it's something to play for at the end of the season there. I'm a Dolphin fan, but I'm a fan of excellence, and I love the Belichick Kraft Brady machine, and now you got to replace one of the parts. But it's going to be hard, don't you agree, to see Brady and Gronkowski in a different uniform, especially a Buccaneer uniform?
Yeah, absolutely. Till one of them gets hurt, nobody will care.
Wow, there you go. Man, we bitter today, ladies.
You know how we roll around. You know how we roll up here, kid.
Listen, yeah, of course I do. But you've had 2 months to get over it, man. I don't know. You have a really good friend in Maine, and he's the same kind of tough, arrogant, obnoxious way.
Hey, tough week for you. I know you were friends with Don Shula. Sorry for your loss. Give us a Don Shula story and tell us how much he hated the New England Patriots.
Well, I will. It's an easy story to tell. When I came back down to Miami after law school, he was a mentor. And frankly, he wrote a chapter in my book, The Sport Business Handbook. He's one of 25 people to do it, like Steve Ross and Gary Bettman and Paul Tagliabue and Don Garber and other luminaries, Jack Nicklaus, and he agreed to do that because they were friendly, but also he thought that he really needed to make a really strong case. The chapter is wonderful. One of the things that was really important that he put in the chapter, and he told me the story, so you got to put it in there. You know, the Dolphins were 3-10-1 before Shula got there in 70-71, then they went right to the playoffs. And Shula said, I'm not going to do a bed check on the road. But what he did is he gave the elevator operator a football, and he said, any guy after 10 o'clock who's coming in, I want you to have that guy sign the football, and don't tell them where you got it or what you're going to use it for. And then the next morning, Zonka shows up, and Don Shula shows him the signed football. Said, I thought you were supposed to get in before 10. What are you doing? And right at that time, everybody was saying, this guy is special. And, one of the things that he hated, which gets back to your story, is people not playing by the rules, winning or losing. And, your work release superstar, the guy you furloughed deliberately to try to clear the snow in 1982 when the Dolphins lost to the Patriots 3-0 on John Smith's field goal. Not that I remember that or am bitter about it at all. But
Mark Henderson, how's
Ron
that
Meyer. I don't think Don Shula talked to Ron Meyer at all after that because your head coach for what was he like 12-640? What was his record with the Patriots? But whatever it was, Don Shula says play by the rules, win or lose. And I got to tell you, let me just tell you, I've been waiting for nearly, 40 years to tell you this. It was snowing. Dolphins may not, it probably should have been a tie. They may not have won that game, but the Patriots sure as hell shouldn't. And to clear the field just for that field goal was cheap. I felt it then. I feel it now.
Talking to Rick Horrell, the sports professor here on the Progressive Guest Line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Rick, we got about a couple minutes left here. Friend of the show, good friend of mine, former colleague John Anik, will be calling UFC 249 this weekend, live sporting event on ESPN. What are the expectations for this UFC event this weekend, and will it bring in some fans that maybe it didn't have in the past?
Well, because I think people are going to watch live events just like they're watching Korean baseball. If you told me I was going to watch Korean baseball in the morning, some morning, I'd say, you're on drugs. What we got. Yes, exactly. Well, that's what we got, right? NASCAR starting crowdless and IndyCar June 6th crowdless. I think the NBA and NHL either will start right at the playoffs or end of the season crowdless. And so, the one key thing we've got is that all the leagues are purchasing this laugh track stuff similar to what every sitcom over the last 25 years has done just to get some crowd noise in the buildings. They're also getting safer facilities. As for Ultimate Fighting, it's three straight events on the world, basically, yep. World stage. You can bet on it and you have nothing else to do.
Very cool.
Maybe it'll work.
Awesome, Rick. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week, okay, buddy?
All right, man. Talk to you next week. Bye.
We'll switch gears. We'll do some NBA talk next. Peter Yiannopoulos comes up next with the SB Nation diehards. Lenihan and Pepe.
The diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
The Progressive guest line is cooking tonight. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Joining us, NBA expert, friend of the show, Peter Yiannopoulos. Peter, welcome back, SB Nation Radio. It's Anthony and Mark in Boston. How are you, pal?
Hey, I'm doing good, Anthony. Good to hear from you guys.
Hey, man, before we get into this NBA stuff, I want to ask you, because it's the NFL schedule, you know, has come out tonight, and everybody's all fired up. Everybody's talking about all these different matchups and what their teams are going to do. So I'm going to throw out a couple of games at you, and I want you to tell me which game excites you the most. Week one, it's, if it happens, Thursday, September 10th, the season starts with the Texans at the Chiefs. Or you have on Sunday, let's go through a couple of games here. Let's go Green Bay at Minnesota, Miami Dolphins at New England. Let's go Tampa Bay at New Orleans, which is pretty exciting. Arizona at San Francisco, or the late game, Dallas at the Los Angeles Rams. Which game of those excite you the most?
Well, you know, I respect all my people in Massachusetts from my days when I coached
Minutemen
at UMass. Definitely looking forward to Brady against Breeze. That would be great. But as a Cowboy fan, from the days of Tom Landry, Tony Dorsett, Danny White, Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, it's Cowboys all day, all night. We're bringing back the Super Bowl where it belongs.
Tony White? I mean, I'm sorry, Danny White, Tony Dorsett. That was Too Tall Jones.
Yeah.
Drew Pearson. I was a big Cowboys fan as a kid.
Billy Bates.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, before we get into the NBA stuff, let's go back to your college coaching days. If you're at UMass now, how do you see a school like UMass, you know, that's not really in a large conference, especially football-wise, but, I mean, how do you see them handling a situation like this with the upcoming season? How would you do it as far as recruiting is concerned?
Hey, it's difficult. It's difficult because, you know, this pandemic, we don't know what does the future hold in terms of the short term, the medium term, and especially the long term. So, again, you just got to focus on what you can do with the players that you have, try and get them in shape, try and do a lot of stuff virtually, study a lot of film. And then, you know, I believe that, yes, coaches recruit players, but, you know, players recruit other players, right?
Yeah,
so it's important for them to talk about, you know, how good the school is. And Amherst is a great, great community, a lot of support, obviously, basketball-wise, but the football program, too. You've had some good players come out of that football program. So the players got to recruit those players and say, hey, let's do something special.
Hey, Peter, how is everything up there in the pandemic and everything going on? And exactly where are you in Canada?
I'm in Montreal right now, born and raised. Things are, you know, a little bit tough, you know, like everybody else. When it hit in March, we didn't really think that it would apply to us. Mm-hmm. We thought it was a little bit foreign. So, you know, the government officials are trying to be proactive. We've had some problems with the senior homes. Unfortunately, a lot of them have contracted the virus and a lot of deaths, but they're trying to be, you know, social distancing, keep people at home. But we've been virtually on a lockdown here for the past 6 weeks. So we're a few hours away from Toronto. It's similar to the same situation. So Montreal, Toronto, two of the biggest cities in Canada. We're just hoping that things calm down and we can get, you know, everybody safe, and then we can get back to our life how it was.
Yeah, Canada seems to have more of a lockdown issue in parts of the United States down here. You know, they're talking about if hockey starts up that it would be tough to do that in hockey. How would that affect Toronto if the NBA gets going? Would they have to go move somewhere to the States perhaps to train?
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. It's very fluid right now. We know that the NBA originally wanted their players to go into a practice facility last week. It was pushed back a week in terms of a staggered basis, not having all the players there. Well, right now for the Raptors, it's interesting. The mayor of Toronto had discussions with the Toronto Raptors and the Toronto Blue Jays in terms of, hey, he wants them to have a season and to continue. The situation with the Raptors is a lot of the players right now are not in Toronto. They're back home in their home states in the U.S. So obviously they would want everybody to get back and slowly get back to normal. The Raptors, as you guys know, third best record in the NBA this year, 46 wins, 18 losses, and that's when you lose Kawhi Leonard. So I think that they would love the chance to defend their title and second in the East behind Milwaukee. Listen, the East is definitely a team with, you know, with the Celtics and the Raptors and the Bucks. The Sixers are going to get pretty healthy. Can you imagine Sixers-Boston first round of the playoffs? That would be exciting for you guys. But right now, they're just trying to slowly wait for the guidance that comes from Adam Silver in the NBA. But I think that, you know, what I'm hearing is they believe that a season will happen probably towards August, and then they could play 2 months of the playoffs and then wait and then have the summer league, have the draft, and then start again in December. So the people that I'm speaking to, guys, you know, NBA executives or certain scouts and even certain coaches, the mindset is that they want to have a season. The question is when now. So hopefully that could happen. But Toronto is ready to go, man. They're ready to go.
I got my hands on a memo sent out to the NBA team presidents, general managers, whatever, from April 27, 2020. It's a four-pages thing. I haven't really had a chance to look at it yet. But a couple of things that jumped out at me are, if you're going to have a practice facility open, no more than four players at a time, wearing masks, and a whole list of other things. How can you pull that off? Do you have different shifts with four players at a time? Or, I mean, is that just another curveball to get things started?
It's difficult, right? It's a fluid situation. And, again, right, you're going to have different teams within a team, right? Because
you don't want
you know, everybody contracting or testing positive or getting the virus at the same time, and then it's a complete lockdown. So I think right now you want to have one or two guys. But listen, like when you just read that, right, the players wearing masks and shooting jump shots, man, it's incredible. I mean, we see it all over, especially here in Canada. You know, people, you know, have been social distancing. Some people not as much. There are people wearing masks on the street. Some of them are not. Now you're going to want players to wear masks to practice. I mean, this is something, it's unprecedented, uncharted times right now. But at least they're trying to be innovative. They're trying to be creative, because I think the commissioner and the players union, they want to finish this season. It would be devastating if they don't, but again, the lives are at stake as well, so the safety has to be prevalent and predominant here moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. I literally just got this like 10 minutes ago. I'm just reading it now. Here's an excerpt from it. Travel quarantine for certain players. For any player who returns in his team's market from another location, before the player enters the team's facility, the team and player must, based on the origination of his destination of a player's travel, comply with applications and quarantine requirements. So, I mean, unless you're growing up and you live in the hometown of where your team's from, is it a two-week delay before you even get that started?
Well, that's a great point. And again, I think it's going to be a 14-day quarantine, right? They're going to have to come out and sit where they're going to be, whether it's in a hotel or back at their home. I think a lot of players, it's not only for the Toronto Raptors, but a lot of players have other homes from their home states, and they've probably been there for the last couple of months. Can you believe that? It's been like over 2 months since that game between the Jazz and OKC got postponed. And you know, one of my good friends and a young player that I used to coach when he was a kid plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder, Lou Gansdorf, starter on that team. I mean, he was telling me the game got canceled and they had to stay in the hotel in the dressing room for like almost 4 hours before they were allowed to leave with the whole Rudy Gobert situation. So again, I think that once all the players are there, the quarantine will have to be respected. How many people do you allow in the gym? You know, the issue that, you know, you're sharing a basketball. Man, these are times that I never believe would have happened, but they are right here. But if there's one league, guys, if there's one league that has shown the leadership that could overcome a situation like this, it's the NBA. I think other leagues have been following them. They were the first to cancel or postpone the season. I trust the NBA and what they're going to do moving forward.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer only at progressive.com. Friend of the show, NBA expert, covers the Toronto Raptors, Peter Yiannopoulos, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, the diehards, Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan. Peter, what's more likely to happen? The season continues this current season, or the start of next season is actually in October?
It's a great question, Anthony, and I think what you got to understand is that you could get a season right now that will start, but there will be no fans. Mm-hmm. If you push back the season, next year's season, to a later date, whether it be at November, even December, hopefully by that time in December, you can get fans and you can get more revenue in. So I think the NBA would want to finish and conclude this season. I think they've played about, you know, almost 70 games. So, and there's no real team that's like the playoff seedings are set. It's not like there's a lot of teams there that have a great chance to make the playoffs that they're not. They might want to finish a couple of games in the regular season, but I would suggest that they would try and complete this season. You have so many scenarios right now, so many storylines with LeBron and Davis with the Lakers, Kawhi and Paul George with the Clippers coming out of the West. In the East, you got Giannis trying to win his first NBA title, the Raptors trying to defend their title, the Celtics trying to get over that hump and get Brad Stevens and them into the finals, the Sixers, as I mentioned before. So if they could conclude that season in one destination, is it in Disney or Orlando? They have their hotel. They have their private court. I think it's possible, but again, you have to have the specialists, the Medicare specialists make that decision. But I would think if there's an NBA season, it will conclude this year, and next year's season will start at a later date, probably in December or January.
Who will be the fattest player that comes back?
Well, that's an excellent question, right?
Why, thank you.
Listen, man, Charles Barkley, hopefully he's in shape when he gets back to the studio. Right, there's a couple of big, but, you know, the league has changed, right? These guys, these athletes, they stay so in shape, they're working out. You know, back in the days, guys would come to training camp and try and get in shape. And watching The Last Dance and seeing some of those clips with the Jordan teams, and you saw the Bad Boy Pistons, the Celtics, man, with Bird and McHale. Man, they were some physical teams, and the Celtics, man, they went after Detroit. They gave it to them really good. So, I don't know. I think, hey, listen, I just want everybody to be healthy. And if there's one guy that I think won't be fat, but he's so chiseled, is Zion Williamson. Man, I can't wait to see him play again.
Oh, great.
You know, I'm reading this memo now. Like I said, unfortunately, just got it. But how about this one? Every person must clean and disinfect their cell phones, keys, and any other frequently touched object they're carrying before entering the practice facility. And then the part about keeping a distance. Will defenses suffer if you have to stay 6 to 8 feet away?
Hey, they're always trying to make the game a lot easier in this era, trying to get scoring up. Here's another situation, guys, right there. We're not talking about the 80s and the 90s Bad Boys and the Jordan Rules game, but, hey, listen, I'm sure they're going to follow the letter of the law, but, hey, it's three-ball nation right now in the NBA, so there's going to be guys shooting three, so... Again, that's going to be interesting to see.
Hey, Peter, final thoughts. You're mentioning The Last Dance, the 10-part special on ESPN. I've watched a little bit of it. I haven't watched the whole thing, and I'm actually DVRing it because I want to binge watch it. But listening to everybody talk about Michael Jordan, and I grew up, in that era. I grew up as a huge basketball fan. Believe it or not, I know it's blasphemy around these parts that everybody loved Larry Bird. Michael Jordan was my favorite. I think he was the best basketball player I've ever seen. I still think he's the best player ever. But it's funny hearing people now that are kind of watching this show and revisiting, you know, the Michael Jordan era, if you will, saying, hey, you know what? Maybe he is the best. You know, Michael Jordan is the best. He is better than LeBron. I'm going, what the hell were you watching then? I mean, the guy was unbelievable. And what has changed to make you think that Michael Jordan is not the best player in the history of the game?
Oh, man. We're on the same page on this, Anthony. Listen, Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player to ever live. He's the greatest athlete to ever live. This guy won 6 championships, 2 consecutive three-peats, never went to a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. People talk about, you know, games are close. This guy was the ultimate competitor. He couldn't lose. I mean, if you never watched Jordan, you might say, okay, I don't know. If you're like, 15, 20 years old. But if you watch this guy, everybody was so obsessed with Michael Jordan, the Bulls. Everybody wanted to be like Mike, from politicians to presidents to other athletes, Jerry Rice. I mean, you should watch. It's incredible. This guy took the lumps, took the beating against Boston, then took it against Detroit, and then he overcame that, and he beat those teams, and he beat Magic Johnson, the Lakers, and he kept beating Patrick Ewing. He didn't allow Hall of Fame players to get a ring. Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, Reggie Miller, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Sean Kemp, Gary Payton. You couldn't beat Jordan. You can never bet against Jordan. This guy did it both ways. And I always say this, right? They make fun of Jordan. They say, hey, you got Clyde Drexler in 1992 that's gonna beat you, and he's just as good as you, Michael Jordan. He told Magic Johnson, just watch what I'm going to do to Clyde Drexler. In 1992, 35 points a game. They beat them in 6. Clyde only had 25 points a game. He annihilated them. On the other side, in 2011, LeBron James played the Dallas Mavericks.
Jason Terry outscored LeBron James in the NBA Finals. 18 points to 17. 17 points to LeBron James. Stop the debate. He's a great player. Jordan's number one. Magic's number two. Larry Bird's number three. Kareem's number four, and Kobe's number five. That's my top five. LeBron James got to win more championships to be in another discussion.
Right. Peter Yiannopoulos, you're the best. Up. We're up against the clock. Thank you so much for joining us. Be safe, you and the family. We'll talk to you later on down the line. Okay, buddy?
Stay safe, my brother. It's all good.
Thanks. Friend of the show, NBA expert Peter Yiannopoulos, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Quick TL, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Diehards, SB Nation Radio.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
This memo's consuming you, buddy, right? Isn't it? I mean, you can't take your eyes off it. You have to put your headset on and talk to us.
Is that how it works? I thought you were still yapping during a commercial. I don't listen to you on the end of my.
So what's going on? You're consumed by this memo.
Well, it's pretty cool. It's 4 pages long. It's kind of a top secret thing that was sent to just management. No, I mean obviously not.
How did you get it?
I know a guy.
Yeah. How much did you pay for it?
But some of the I'm billing you, so it doesn't matter. But I mean, some of the rules are unbelievable. Entering alone, players must enter the facility alone and cannot be accompanied by family members, personal security, or other individuals.
We'll get into more of that coming up
the
next hour.
Stock.
You're listening to the Diehards, SB Nation Radio.